What wonderful services this past Sunday with Brother Miles Young. Wonderful word in the house, great moving of his spirit. And we just count it an honor to be a part of the kingdom of God. If the ushers would go ahead and pass the plate tonight, we'll just do that while we're doing these offerings, and we'll do the announcement with the offering and just take care of all of that at one time. Praise God. If you're seated in the wings, come on over in the body. We're working on getting close to one another, and it helps when we're all in one little spot. You don't want to feel cut off from the body. Praise God. Praise God. Now this Sunday, Brother Ari Prado is going to be with us, and it's going to be great in the house, and then he's also going to be preaching the 2 o'clock service with the Spanish-speaking group, and that's a wonderful blessing to have somebody that can do all of that, and it's going to be a great time of revival. And then we're looking forward to March, when Brother Prado is going to be with us every weekend. Every weekend in March, he's going to be with us. On February the 8th is Junior Boys Sports, 8 to 12. It's been a little while since we've done that. And Brother Jeff and some other folks are going to reignite that. And these boys, 8 to 12, are going to play basketball and softball and flag football, whatever they have, whatever the weather allows and whatever it seems good at the time. But there's a wonderful fellowship and camaraderie that'll be built in that in those activities. And we're looking forward to seeing what happens there. That's 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock at the church on February the 8th. We're just giving you a little heads up. Praise God. Well, something marvelous moved through the house on Sunday. And we saw folks filled with the Holy Ghost and folks baptized in Jesus' name. It's good to see Asia back in the house. Last Wednesday night was her first time to come, and she was baptized in Jesus' name last Wednesday night. And it's just excellent to see what God is doing, and God's been pouring out the Holy Ghost. And some folks got the Holy Ghost on Friday night, and then some again on Sunday. And it's just been a wonderful season. I believe this is going to be a great year of outpouring. And we'll see what God is going to do with all of us. You want to be growing in the Spirit, and you want to be growing in your area of giftedness. If you haven't found that area, you need to probe into the Holy Ghost until you find it. And it may be that you're a utility player and that God uses you in a lot of ways. But not everybody's strung the same. We're all wired a little bit differently, and God uses different vessels for different purposes. And tonight, it's not just about coming out of Egypt. It's not just about being saved, but it's about going into promise. It's about being used, and it is salvation-oriented, but it's also vocation-oriented. God has a job for every one of us. Theologically, they would say it's not just soteriological, but it's vocational. You are come to the field of God. You've come to the vineyard of the King. You've come to His work. It's good for us to be about our Father's business. And to do that, you've got to grow in the kingdom and find yourself and be a workman that knows what in the world he or she is doing. And there is no sweeter place to stand in all of life than to know you are about the Father's business and that you're doing a good job with it. There's nothing better than all in all the world than that. Praise God. We're going to continue tonight in a study of Ephesians chapter 6. And we left off last week with girding up the loins with truth. And so we'll read tonight again in that sixth chapter, verses 10 through 13. And everyone say amen. Amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Everyone say, put on the whole armor. that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Say that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're wrestling against. You got to look above the flesh and understand that your answers, your resources, the things of consequence that you're going to interact with, they're all spiritual. You get that right, and the other stuff gets right. Can't explain necessarily what beating arrows on the ground has to do with defeating the Assyrians, but it does. So we want to, when God gives us something to do in the spirit, we want to do it with all of our heart. I watch people commonly make a mistake, and they think that the spiritual things of the kingdom of God don't have a lot to do with the natural things that are happening around them. And that somehow if they get all the natural things right, they'll feel better in their spirit. You're upside down. You get these spiritual features in place, the natural things follow after. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then Ephesians 6 and 13, take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. Verse 14 is where we left off. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. If you love his word as you're seated right now, let's give him praise and thanks for his word. Hallelujah. Mighty God, we praise you. We worship you. We lift you up. We magnify you, oh God. Blessed be your name. Praise God. If you've noticed the destruction of some beautiful trees over on the hill over here, that's necessary because they're standing where you're going to need to park at some point. And so that's getting opened up for a little area. There's about 2 acres up there that we're going to devote to parking. Early on, we may devote it to like a picnic bench area, something like that. But we'll just have to see. And then there's some more work going on in the back that's prepping for a baseball field. And that just for a little while, because we're going to build a building on top of the baseball field. But in the interim, we'll have a little place to hit a softball for a little while. So if you're wondering what all the commotion is about, it's time to grow. It's time to build. It's time to do. It's time to make more room. And I just want us to keep building bigger barns until he comes, you know, because there is no end to the harvest. There's no end to the increase of the kingdom of God. So we're talking about truth, and truth is the word of God. It's the way of God. And Paul says you need to have your loins girded about with truth. We won't recreate the whole lesson from last time because these lessons on Wednesday night are very, very brief. And so we need to move on into another area. But I do want you to entertain two more features of truth. One is that it makes you free. John 8, verse 31 and 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, is there anybody that just got a massive deliverance when you came to live for God? Somebody that really can look back and say, I was bound up by so many things and I never thought I'd get free. You know, that little 3-inch cigarette can make a big man tremble. And that's a hard thing to break away from. For some people, bam, they walk away from it just like that. And other folks just struggle. I mean, they cry and weep and mourn and go to the altar. And I mean, it is a wonderful thing when you finally break free of that. You should not be brought under the domination of anything like that. But a lot of us were involved with all sorts of behaviors that we needed to leave at an altar. And the truth literally makes us free. But it not only makes us free from those things, but it makes us free to do other things. And it propels us and it positions us and it strengthens us. It reorients our thinking and our hearts and our spirits so that we're able to engage in the kingdom of God and we are free to follow after God. We're unencumbered with the world, but we're also free to go on into the promise of God. Anybody want to see what God has for you in a brand new year? And you believe that the best is yet to come? Does anybody believe the best is yet to come? I really do. I really do. And so we become, the truth makes us free to engage in all the promises of God. And all the promises of God are yes, and they are amen in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Now, the truth grows all by itself. The truth propagates itself. Because we were talking about the fact that that piece of armor protects you in your reproductive physiology or your reproductive means. And that was a very important piece of armor. And when you think about truth, it's impossible to replicate the kingdom of God if you err from truth. That's how you wind up with all these denominational churches. That's how you wind up with people who think they know God and don't have the Holy Ghost, who think that they can serve God without being obedient to the Word of God. That's how you get from, I was talking to a gentleman here Sunday morning who had come for a baby dedication. And I was going to be his tour guide and help him a little bit with all this uproarious worship and activity, physical activity, clapping and shouting and all of the things that go on in a Pentecostal church. He said, "Oh, no, I know about that. I was raised in the country, and that's what church always was, and that's how church should be." So he kind of knew about it already. Well, I told him I was raised in a church where they didn't know anything about any of that. And you just, it was as still as a tomb and as quiet, and you couldn't even whisper without getting the back of a hand because they could hear you. And it was just so dead. Well, that's a million miles from the Word of God. That's a million miles from what biblical praise is. The doctrine is a million miles from what biblical doctrine is and how the Word of God represents it. So you get there by departing from the truth. And when you depart from the truth, you get bound up by all sorts of things. But you cannot replicate the kingdom of God when you're not faithful to what is true. So you have to adhere to the truth in order that your children or those you win to God are going to be faithful to the truth. I know that's common sense. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 gives us a sequence of four generations of the propagation of truth. Look at this. Paul's talking to Timothy, and he says, "And the things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And so you have Paul, and he's talking to Timothy. And Timothy has committed to faithful men, and they are going to be able to teach others. And they're thinking in their instruction, they're thinking about the propagation of this and the extending of this in future generations. What we do around here, we have to do with our children in mind. What we do around here is bigger than us and the point in time where we're standing on the timeline of God's church. We have to think in terms, I've got to leave this place strong enough so that when someone else walks in the door, there's enough fire for them to get the Holy Ghost. There's enough truth for them to find their way to God. We can't let down or compromise anything that's been delivered to us by the Word of God. We have a charge from God Himself that we handle this and keep this for those that are coming. And we don't know when God's coming, but if He tarries any length of time at all, this world's going to be an exciting place. America is a heathen nation right now. They've departed. One of the greatest mission fields in the world is right here in the United States of America. Just in something as simple as abortion. Since the time of Roe v. Wade to present, they've butchered and murdered 55 million babies. Now, you don't think some judgment's going to come down on that? You don't think this nation has lost its way? And that's from the highest court in the land, from the highest office in the land. And recently, the highest office in the land came out in support of gay marriage. Now, it doesn't matter if the Supreme Court says it's okay. It doesn't matter if the president says it's okay. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I can just tell you, it's not okay to kill babies, and it's not okay for men to marry men. That's right. I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I got that. Okay. So we've got to keep truth because somebody's going to be hungry for God. Somebody's going to be coming in out of the confusion of the day looking for truth, and we've got to keep it. It's not a day to water it down. It's not a day to compromise it. It's not a day to be casual about it. But if you've ever fiercely held on to the truth, it's a day to do that right now, to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Somebody say, praise the Lord. If you do love the truth, I want you to tell somebody by you, I love the truth. I'm so glad I'm in truth tonight. Now, do you really? Let's give God some praise for that. Praise God. The proverb says, buy the truth, sell it not. You want to hang on to it. You want to keep it. And you want to make sure it's here for our babies. Then in that 14th verse, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Everyone say the breastplate of righteousness. It was the armor that covered the soldier from his diaphragm up. It protected all of his primary and very important organs. But notably, I think about your lungs and your heart there, which is kind of hard to live without either one of them. And for us, the spiritual application is really pretty simple. Righteousness is the condition that is acceptable to God. It's what God likes. It's what God says. It's what God has written. It's what God has decreed. That's what's right. We are not living in a gray area where there are no absolutes. That's how the world lives. Well, whatever you feel, darling, whatever works for you. Well, that's not how the Word of God is. God's given us very, very clear directions about how to live. He's defined marriage. He's defined home and family. He's talked to us very straightforwardly about what salvation is. It's all very clear. It's not gray at all, but it's very, very clear. So this condition that's acceptable to God is not acceptable to our culture. Our culture is moving into a place with no absolutes at all, and they don't like the idea of absolutes. And even in the religious world, in a discussion between people that are supposedly Christian, the anger and the intensity rises really quickly if you say, no, that's not right. The Word of God says, and they'll say, who are you to judge? Judge not, lest you be judged. And that's one of their favorite scriptures. But if you just read on a few more scriptures, the Bible says, cast not your pearls before swine or the children's bread to dog or that is holy to somebody that's going to trample it underfoot. So I got a right to know, and I have a biblical vantage point to know if you're a swine or not. That's a judgment. Okay. I know by the Word of God if you're right or if you're wrong. Because how can I be right if I don't know what right is? How can I avoid wrong if I don't know what wrong is? And it's not situational ethic, and it's not something that is relative to your universe and my universe, but we live in the same universe and we're covered by the same Word of God. It is so neat and it's so easy. Thou shalt not kill. That's easy. Thou shalt not steal. That's easy. Thou shalt not bear false witness to the IRS, to your mama, to your husband, to your wife, to the boss. You just don't lie. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. That is easy. Just there's no profit in lying at all. I love that message Sunday morning. Take your mask off and just be real. Be absolutely real. So this is righteousness is what God says is right. Righteousness is what God, the condition that pleases God. So then we derive that from the Word of God, what pleases God. Well, I've talked to people about that before and they've said, well, I'm not convicted about that. Well, it doesn't matter if you're convicted about it or not. It's the law. You may not be convicted about a 70 mile an hour speed limit, but go ahead and blaze through there at 90 and see if you don't get a little paper for your trouble. You know, and you might tell that state trooper, well, I don't feel convicted about that, but it doesn't matter. The law is the law. Amen. And you see, it's gotten so smarmy in Christianity that everybody's just walking about how they feel. And that's how it was in the days of Noah when God washed the whole place away. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But that's the drumbeat of hell. We can't find God like that. We find God by his word, by walking according to his word. So then righteousness is the condition that pleases God. It's not a world of non-absolutes. Okay, let's pursue this for a minute. I don't know what Sis Shirley and her gang are cooking over there tonight, so I can't give you a preview. But someone knows? What is it? I can't hear you. Tacos. Just taco, fish tacos? Chicken tacos? Nachos tacos? What do you mean it's not mine? I know. What do you mean it's not my tacos? I got to get some too. Well, that's what she said. She said nacho tacos. Genesis 4 and verse 6. And this is out of that story about Cain and Abel. And the Lord said unto Cain, and you know, Cain is the elder brother, and Cain brings the wrong sacrifice. And this is the beginning of false religion. Abel brings the right sacrifice, which was undoubtedly a lamb. And Cain brings stuff from his garden, a vegetable salad or a fruit salad, because that's what he was raising and he was proud of it. But here's the ticket. You can't bring God what you want to bring God. You have to bring God what God requires. God won't receive what you like. Righteousness is what God likes. Okay. And so the Lord says to Cain, why are you mad? Because when God says, I don't receive your offering, and probably there was an answer by fire. Abel's sacrifice was probably answered by fire. Cain's was not. And Cain didn't say, oh, I'm wrong. How can I fix this, God? Cain got mad and his countenance fell. And you know, you can tell when people are mad, when they look at you with that look, you can tell. And Cain was mad, and God says, why are you wroth, or why are you mad, and why hast thou countenance fallen? If you do well, won't you be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin lies at the door. Now hear what he says. He says, you know how to do well. Cain knew the right thing. And he said, if you do the right thing, you'll be accepted. So what does God accept? God accepts what is right. God accepts what he's asked for. And if you don't do well, then what? Sin lieth at the door. So now this is an interesting scenario. When you don't do well, sin is at the door. So now in this case, was what Cain did a sin? Now this is the Bible study question. Is bringing a vegetable tray to God a sin? Is bringing a fruit salad to God a sin? No. He didn't sin by what he did. But he said, if you keep not doing the right thing, sin is going to be at the door. Is it a sin to go fishing on Sunday? My mother told me if you fished on Sunday, you'd catch the devil. Where's Brother Tim? But I'm here for the record to say a fruit salad before God is not sin, and fishing on Sunday is not sin. But what you're doing there, he's not bringing the right sacrifice. He's not doing the right thing, or he's not walking in righteousness. And when you miss church to go fishing, you may have a compelling reason to do that. But if you do that long enough, you will have not done the right thing long enough that it begins to cost you. You notice he didn't say you've sinned. He said sin's at the door. Okay? If you go fishing every Sunday, sin's going to be at your door. And the end of this discussion is his desire is unto you. He wants you. Sin there is personified. But you have power over him, or you're going to control him. And so doing the right thing then keeps sin away from your door. Just as simple as that. if you'll just find out what the right thing is, and it's easy to do the right thing. You don't chew, you don't dip, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't dance with bow-legged women, you don't go to the honky-tonks anymore. They used to have discos. What do they have now? I don't know what they have. We have that long list of things we don't do. We don't hate people. We're not racists. We're not bigots. You can't do all those things and be right with God. But if you continue to do the right things, then sin is not at your door. I don't want sin at my door. I want my door to be a place where my family can come in and out, and good things can come in and out, and the blessings of God can come in and out. I don't want sin at my door. So doing the right thing protects you and keeps you like a piece of armor that you wear. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, just do the right thing. Are you a hater? Do you hate? You got to forgive. And this is not easy stuff, but you got to forgive. Because hate will consume you. Sin is at the door. You keep doing the wrong thing, sin is going to come right on in the house. The breastplate of righteousness protects your lungs, and there's no better analogy for prayer. We don't have a lot of time here tonight. Let's see how long you can hold your breath. Just stop. Stop breathing. I can't. Not very long, anyway. I mean, really, really talented people can swim underwater for 6 minutes or something like that, but I can't do that very long. You know, I don't think you can live very long for God without breathing. And prayer is breathing in and breathing out. The first time Adam encounters the Spirit of God, it's God breathes into him. When they get the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, How is that situation described? They were all together. They're in one place, in one mind, and one accord. And suddenly there comes a sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind. The word wind there in the Greek is pneuma. And anytime in the New Testament you see the word wind or breath, it's always pneuma. It's the same. And so wind and breath are always pneuma, but spirit is also. It's all the same word. The spirit is the breath of God. The spirit of God is the breath of God. God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. At Pentecost, God breathed into 120 people. When you got the Holy Ghost, God breathed into you, and the spirit came in you. Now you're alive. Where before the scripture says you were dead in sins and trespasses. And so now God has breathed into you. Well, what happens when we praise and magnify God? We're breathing in and out. What happens when you pray, when you release your heart and your spirit to God in prayer and you begin to call on God? It's like breathing in and out. Righteousness protects that, just like a breastplate of armor protects you against a spear from an adversary or a sword thrust of an adversary. You get punctured in your lung and you've got a sucking chest wound. You're not going to last very long without a medic on hand. And the same thing will happen. Unrighteousness corrupts your prayer life, corrupts your capacity to breathe in the Spirit. Have you ever had active sin in your life and were ashamed to pray? Have you ever had a spiritual failure in your life and you felt awful about praying, coming to the altar, worshiping God was so hard when you were in the house and you weren't doing very well and you came to church and you didn't feel the liberty because, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, that came to you direct mail from hell. Well, you can't worship because you know what you did, and then you'd be a hypocrite. Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Listen, coming to God with sin in your life is not hypocrisy. It's just good sense. The place where you're going to go to get rid of sin? You're going to go to the vet to get rid of sin or to express oil? Where will you go to get rid of your sin? You're going to go to God. You got to come to. How do we get into the presence of God? We enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. We come in praising him. How do we know we have that license? Have you heard the Lord's Prayer? Let's say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How does that prayer start? I'm a part of the kingdom of God. I'm still a part of the kingdom of God. He will not let you come without acknowledging that you're a part of his people and a part of his kingdom. But I've got sin in my life. Well, join the crowd. John said, if we say we have no sin, we lie. The truth is not in us. There's not a one in this house tonight that doesn't have sin. There's only two types of people. People with their sin under the blood and people with their sin yet to be covered by the blood. My recommendation is that you would get your sin under the blood tonight. And I'm not talking about hardcore sin in a million different ways. The church has its struggles and everybody has their struggles. But even when you've done everything you know to do, there are areas in your life when God's looking at you that need improvement, where you are missing the mark, which is the definition of sin. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So what do you do when you got a problem? You come right on into the presence of God. You lift up your hands. Is that hypocrisy? No, that's just good sense. It's following the structure of the Word of God. You know what he put in the Lord's Prayer? Down at the end of the prayer, after you've praised him, after you've said, I'm a part of the people of God, after you've prayed for the blessings and the provision of God in your life, then he says, and forgive me my trespasses. He gave us that prayer. He said, oh yeah, we're going to take care of sin, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is coming in the house of God with God's people. The most important thing is coming into the presence of God, because you can't do anything about your sin on your own. You can't get it right without God. You get God to get good. You get God to get right. You can't get right without God. Well, I'll come to God after I get it right. You might as well go home. You don't have a prayer. You don't have a hope. You've got to come to God to get it right. Well, God knows I've sinned. Well, yeah, exactly. God knows you've sinned. He knows it all. Come on in and lift up your hands. He died for your stinking human nature and your sin. And it's not news to God. He knew about it when you did it. He was there watching, and it's recorded in his book, and you need it covered by the blood of his sacrifice. Somebody say amen. Amen. The breastplate of righteousness will keep you. Unrighteousness will cause you to think, I don't need to go to church. I'm not right. I can't pray. I'm not right. I can't worship. I'm not right. You're wrong on all those counts. You need to get your unrighteousness in the presence of God and be made righteous again by the covering of his blood. Amen. Now, if I ask tonight, I want all the righteous people to stand up. Well, why don't we do that? I want everybody in the house that's righteous to stand up. And see, it is a trick. If you're brand new, you may not know this yet. But I'm not asking if you are righteous by your power. I'm not asking if you're perfect. I'm not asking if you don't have any flaws in your life. I'm asking if you've got your sin under the blood. If you've got your sin, and that's exactly right. Now she's on her feet. Now she's standing. If you've got your sin under the blood, then you're right. Praise God. I in myself will never be right. But I, under his covering, I'm always right. He is the sweet smelling savor that the incense was in the tabernacle that covers me. He said, I've wanted to cover you like a mama hen wants to cover her chicks, when he was talking to Jerusalem. And that's how he covers us. He covers us with his righteousness. So when we all stand, then we're saying, I'm righteous, but it's not mine, it's his. You know, I'm holy. And we could do the same thing with holiness. I want all the holy people to stand. Well, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you're covered by the blood, you need to be able to stand. But it's not my holiness, it's his holiness. I'm going to live forever, but it's not my power, it's his power. All the good things in my life are directly connected with how close I am to him. Don't you dare let sin or failure or unrighteousness keep you out of the presence of God. Bring it into the presence of God. Get it resolved. Your breastplate of righteousness intact will keep you. and you can breathe in his presence, and you can pray, and you can worship, and he can fill you again, and it's a brand new day. You tried to do this on your own, and you load up with a bunch of sin, and every day you wait, that's another day harder it is to get back in the kingdom of God. Let's stand together. We're going to go eat nacho tacos. They're nachos. They're mine. Praise God. Why don't we come gather down around the altar tonight? Would you do that? And just hook up with somebody. If you got husband or wife or close family, hook up with them. If you don't, just hook up with somebody randomly. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's, as we come, make some room there in the middle. They're coming down. They're getting log jammed. Now let's just pray a prayer of repentance tonight. Everybody in the house. Let's just pray, God, forgive us. God, cleanse us. God, wash us. God, have mercy on us. There's nothing good in me. Every good thing in my life is you, God. God, cleanse me tonight. God, forgive me tonight. God, wash me tonight. Make me whole tonight, oh God. Cleanse me of everything that's not pleasing to you, God. The meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, the works of my hands. Help me to be pleasing in your sight, oh God. Hallelujah. Cleanse me. Wash me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do it in the name above every name. Cover me with your blood, oh God. Wash me and I shall be clean. Purge me, oh God. Hallelujah. Make me whole, oh God. Ah, yes. Praise God. Wash me, oh God. Every sin, everything that's weak. God, forgive me of everything I've left undone and all that I didn't see, Lord. Cleanse me of everything I've missed, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And just lay your hand on somebody near you there and pray for them tonight. Pray God's blessing, God's strength, God's goodness on them tonight. Ah, bless this people, oh God. Bring forth your kingdom, oh God. Bring forth your ministry, Lord God. Bring forth your gift, mighty God. Make a way, Lord. Hallelujah. Anoint. Grant wisdom and understanding and knowledge, oh God. Strengthen the hands, oh God. Make straight the ways, oh God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, let's give him a little praise and magnify his name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Brother Butch, why don't you pray for us tonight and bless the food for us, if you would. Praise God. And just like Acts chapter 2, they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in prayer and in breaking of bread. So these things are all very important. So we want everybody to take part. Remember, if you have children, they belong to you. Keep them with you all during this time of fellowship. And any unattended children will be towed away. and you will be fined.